other times, and I thought, what are the chances I've worn the same shirt? I'm not even going to ask. And then I got here, and she said, you know, you've worn that same shirt all three times. So, yeah, this video, people can watch, like, wow, this is some session they're having. Actually, we could put these on a chair in back in case someone else comes in, maybe. So. Okay, well, let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word and your spirit. We're grateful for the cross. We know that all the instruction in the world on how to escape enslaving sins or any kind of sin would be absolutely futile if not for the power of the cross and your sacrifice that you made on our behalf to purchase redemption and forgiveness and freedom from sin. Oh Lord, we're so thankful. Teach us, Lord, to receive this gift that you've offered us. We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Well, if you went to a personal trainer to lose weight or to build muscles or get in shape, whatever you're going to do, when you came back each week to the trainer, the first thing they would do is check to see your progress. So if you're like there for weight loss, then you'd weigh in, right? They'd put you on a scale. Or if it's strength training, they would see if you could lift any heavier weight than you could before or whatever. So Scripture says, train yourself to be godly in 1 Timothy 4. So we're doing the same thing. It's training. It's personal training. So at the beginning of each one of these sessions, I would like you to step on the scale, the spiritual scale, and weigh in and see if you're making any progress. So the way to do that is very simple. You just ask yourself the same question that I start every counseling session with, and that is, what ways have you behaved differently this past week as a result of the exercises that you're doing? What have you done or said or thought differently than you would have normally have had it not been for the exercises? So some examples to, and what I, the answer that I would not be looking for would be, I did the exercises. You know, like I asked, well, what did you do different this week? I read Romans 8 every day, like you asked me to. Well, yeah, but what I'm asking is, what kind of behavior differences did reading Romans 8 cause in your life? So some examples of some answers to this, possible answers to this question. Somebody might say, as a result of the constant prayers for victory all through the day, there were a couple of times when I resisted a temptation that I normally would have caved into. Or as a result of taking the next step in my prayer life, my repentance last time I fell was deeper, you know, than it typically would have been. Or as a result of the daily meditations in the What's So Great About God book, I had the following delightful experiences with the presence of God last week. This one and this one and this one. Or as a result of memorizing Galatians 5:16, I walked by the Spirit in ways that I typically wouldn't have. Or as a result of memorizing and meditating on Isaiah 55:2, I ran to God. And there's one instance where I was craving something and I realized, no, my soul is craving God. And I ran to God instead of that thing. Or as a result of being in church and prayer group, it had this impact on my life. Just those are some sample answers to how you can tell if you're making progress. If you can say anything like that, any one of those, then you're making progress, and that's really good. If not, then you might have to amp up the intensity of the exercises that you're doing. So, again, just like a physical workout. So just a little bit of review. In order to in order to break free from an enslaving sin, you need three things. One of them is power. You need spiritual power from God, which means you're going to have to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Walking by the Spirit means subjecting yourself to the Holy Spirit's influence more. So you do that through scripture, prayer, fellowship. That's what all these exercises are designed to do. And I want to urge you, if you can't keep up with the exercises, don't give up. Realize that anything is better than nothing when it comes to exercises. I give these assignments each week and all these exercises, and you're like, man, this, I'm trying to do them and I don't even make it until Tuesday, you know, and it's just that I'm already off the wagon and it spoils the whole thing. If that's you, just realize that if you're starting from zero, then it's kind of hard to get up to, do all these things every single day right away. So I would suggest do what you can, you know, just make some progress. I'll tell you a story about my own physical workouts that I do. I'm a very sedentary person. I have a sedentary lifestyle. God, I don't think, designed me to do any kind of labor because my body is just averse to hard work. It makes me nauseous. So I've never been in very good shape. And finally I decided, man, I need to get some kind of shape or I'll, you know, I don't want to die at age 40, you know, or something. So I decided a while back that I was going to start running. But I'm very busy. My schedule's really tight. I didn't have time to go to the gym or do anything like that. I didn't have very much time. And I didn't really have very much motivation. But I thought, well, I can run to the mailbox. I know I can run to the mailbox. And so I'll just do that. And then each day I'll just go one more step. It'll always be a piece of cake. And so I did. The first day I just ran from my house to the mailbox. It took me, maybe 15 seconds. And then the next day I ran a couple more steps. And the next day, a couple more. And my only rule was I just had to go at least one more step than the day before. That's all I had to do. And I did that for a long time. I got up to a point where I was running pretty fast for 6 minutes. And then I capped it right there because I didn't want to spend any more time with it. As like I said, I was really busy. So people would always laugh at me when I would tell them that they'd say, "What do you do for work?" And I run for 6 minutes. But you know, I got in a lot better shape than when I was just sitting around doing nothing. A lot better. And then the same thing was, after a while my knees started hurting, so I couldn't run anymore. So I started trying to do strength training. And I did the same thing. Started doing push-ups. And I thought, the first time I did it, I could do like three or something. And then, you know, after a while I did four, five, six, seven, eight, you know, and I just kept going up until it got, you know, 50 or 60 push-ups. And then I started doing it a few times a day. And then same thing with pull-ups. And so now I've got, I'm probably in the best shape of my life. And I work out 2 minutes at a time. And I do that, you know, three or four times a day. And it's an ordeal. So it's an ordeal every day. It's an ordeal trying to get myself to do it. I still have some more I got to do today, which is really a bummer. But all that to say, you know, most people who are into physical fitness would just laugh me out of the gym if they found out that I was doing a grand total of 6 to 8 minutes a day of working out. But it's made a huge difference for me. And I think it's the same thing spiritually. If you can't keep up with all the exercises and you're not the toughest guy in the gym necessarily with all these spiritual exercises, don't give up. Do something. Do something. And you'll start to see progress. And if you're not seeing any progress, then you maybe need to move from just one push-up to three or something like that. But you don't have to go crazy with this stuff on the very first day. Okay? So first step is you need to get strength from God. by doing these exercises. The second, by walking with the Spirit. Second step is fulfillment in God. The way a sin enslaves you is by promising you something, right? Promising you some fulfillment of an appetite of your soul. It promises to fulfill a craving that your soul has for pleasure or for comfort or for rest or for control or relief or any other, any number of other cravings. Your soul will drive you to fulfill those appetites. So whatever your soul thinks will fulfill them, you're going to do. You're absolutely going to do eventually. If they're not being fulfilled by God, you will fulfill them some other way, or you'll try to. So your soul is going to run hard after whatever it thinks will satisfy its cravings, and you're never going to be able to stop that. The only thing you can do to change the situation is to convince your soul that something else will satisfy it, but you'll never get it to stop running after what it thinks will satisfy its cravings. Does that make sense? Most of this class is about how to get it to correct its misconception about what will actually satisfy. Scripture describes our relationship to God like a marriage. Just as a wife is to look to her husband alone to fulfill all of her sexual desires, so we are to look to God alone to fulfill all of our cravings of our soul for comfort and pleasure and fulfillment and relief and all the rest. When we seek to satisfy those cravings with something else besides God, then that's unfaithfulness to God. It's like committing adultery against God. That's James 4. And it's putting something in God's place, which is idolatry, which is why Colossians 3:5 says greed is idolatry. Somebody asked that question last week about the connection between coveting and idolatry. Well, they're the same thing because coveting and greed are the same thing. Colossians 3:5, greed, which is idolatry. It's idolatry because typically we think, well, idolatry is putting something in God's place. God's place is to be worshipped. He sees to be worshipped. And so idolatry is when you worship something besides God. That's true. But worship is one of God's places. But another thing that is God's place is to be the object of our soul's desire. And when we put something else as the object of our desire, then that's just as much idolatry as when you put something else as the object of your worship. So it's idolatry. It's adultery against God, and it's idolatry. So the assignment last week was to discover your idols in your heart. Discover, just to do an examination and figure out what are the idols in my heart that drive me towards this sin, this enslaving sin. What is it that my heart thinks is it needs in order to be happy? So I'd like to discuss that in some small groups. So let's divide into small groups again. And if you're... here's what I want more groups. I'd like the groups to be a little smaller this time so everyone gets a chance to talk. So the ideal size for a group would be 2 or maybe 3. So if you're already just got someone that you're hitting it off with in this class, you know would be a good mentor for you, just pull that person aside and the two of you can find a couple of chairs and sit down. Or better yet, maybe grab a third person. Just grab a third person and pull them in. Because I think 3 would maybe be the ideal size. If not, if you don't know who to hook up with, then you just sit in one of those circles and we'll have groups in the circles. No more than 5, though. If it gets any more than 5, then just split the group in half and make it 2 groups. Those who weren't here last time and you weren't here and you didn't have a chance to watch the videos, then you can jump into my group. And I'll have a group. My group will just be right up front, right here. So on the handouts, there's what we're doing in the group. First, quote the verses if you can. If you memorize the verses, go ahead and quote them, each person, and then ask how you're doing. Ask each other how you're doing with just the exercise of scripture, prayer, and fellowship. How are you doing each day in your daily devotions with scripture, prayer, and fellowship? Just be real honest about that. And then share your progress from the exercises, especially number 3 from last week. What experiences did you have with the presence of God this last week? where you tried to experience one of his attributes in a delightful way and it worked. You actually had a delightful experience of one of God's attributes. If you have any of those, because you're going to jot those down, remember? So if you have any of those jotted down, please share those. That'll be really encouraging. And then also share which idols you discovered in your heart and what it was that led you to the conclusion that that's an idol. And then if you have extra time in your group at the end, we'll be doing this for about a half an hour. If you have time at the end, then just spend some time praying for each other. Okay. Yeah.
You know, as we look for those idols, sometimes when we find them, it can be rather daunting. It can be disheartening to find out that your heart is attached to something like, you know, the sins that we commit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to encourage everyone in this class because, you know, as we go through a class laid out in segments, and, you know, last week, discover the idols in your heart, this week, let's talk about discovering the idols in your heart. Some of you may not even be there yet. But some, this morning, I got. God is merciful. The Lord preserved the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. So he's even there when we're discovering those things. And he will save us.
Amen. Yeah, that is encouraging. Thank you, Bob. Bob's right. The pace of this class is somewhat artificial. Typically, in a counseling session, we would just, you know, a counseling case, we'd take however much time we needed for the first thing, and then the second thing, and then, you know, and so we're just going each week. It's a new thing, but don't feel like you're going to get snowed under because each one of these overlaps a lot with the previous one, and so. We're not going to leave you in the dust if you haven't done the original ones. These all just kind of layer onto each other. And there's some of these things where, like the third or the fourth week, will help you a lot with the stuff from the first or the second week. And so you're going to find these things kind of build on each other and pieces come together as we go. So it's just the ideal would be just to do it all in one shot, one huge shot, you know, if our brains could handle that. But we can't. So don't worry about the pace. We will layer back on previous things. So, all right. Well, let's divide into our groups, and we'll get back here in about a half an hour.